Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70 plus exhibits, first class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
Salinas-based Naturite Farms is kicking off California strawberry season with increasing volumes of its varieties of strawberries. Naturite, one of the world's largest producers of fresh berries, will offer several of its proprietary varieties and premium berries, including the supersized Mighty Reds, greenhouse variety, and of course the familiar favorite, conventional and organic strawberries. While Mother Nature pushed back the start of the season, Nature Ripe is still expecting outstanding quality on its California strawberries for the spring season. Production is increasing now through the next few weeks, and the crop will feature large, juicy, flavorful strawberries. The proprietary varieties offered by Nature Ripe are part of the company's new era of berries, which is defined by improved quality of berries, ramped up innovation in breeding, growing, and packaging, and continued top prioritization of sustainability throughout the business. Every season, NatureRipe operates with the values of high-quality berries, innovative breeding and growing practices, and a commitment to sustainability. In its new era of berries, NatureRipe says it looks forward to bringing more attention to its significant strides in these areas. California has joined the Federal Trade Commission and a bipartisan coalition of eight other states in a lawsuit to block a proposed merger between grocery giants Kroger and Albertsons, saying the $24.6 billion deal would eliminate competition and lead to higher prices for millions of Americans. The suit that the FTC filed requests a temporary injunction blocking a deal which the agency said would be the largest grocery merger in U.S. history. Grocer and Albertsons, two of the nation's largest grocers, agreed to merge in October of 2022. The company said a merger would help them better compete with Walmart, Amazon, Costco, and other big rivals. Together, Kroger and Albertsons would control around 13% of the U.S. grocery market. Walmart controls 22%, according to J.P. Morgan analyst Ken Goldman. Representative Josh Harder is sounding the alarm on an invasive species of beetle that's been detected in the Central Valley, infesting almonds and pistachios. These invasive almond beetles and their larvae feed on the kernels of nuts and can cause massive crop losses. These invasive almond beetles are only about 2.5 millimeters long, and they bore tiny holes into developing nuts, eating the kernels inside and leaving tunnels and a powdery mix of nut meat and frass behind. This pest has been threatening almonds in Australia for 10 years, and more recently, they've been reported in walnuts in Argentina and Italy. This beetle has the ability to survive through the winter in the soil and inside unharvested leftover nuts called mummy nuts, so they pose an ongoing threat to other crops beyond almonds, walnuts, and pistachios. The last thing farmers need is an invasive beetle killing some of the most important crops. Representative Harder says that we have to treat this invasion like the major economic threat it is. He is calling on the USDA to step up and help farmers get this under control before it's too late. The Almond Alliance expresses gratitude for Congressman Harder's leadership in dealing with a difficult issue that the almond community is facing. His involvement opened a dialogue with USDA, and his office is taking a lead in finding solutions that can help growers fight against this harmful, non-native invasive pest, according to Almond Alliance President and CEO Aubrey Bettencourt. Representative Harder led a group of his colleagues in writing a letter to the USDA pushing for the allocation of emergency funding from the Commodity Credit Program and the Plant Pest and Disease Management and Disaster Prevention Program to address the urgent threat of this invasive beetle. Major League eater James Webb set a new world record by cracking and eating 338 pistachios in just 8 minutes at the second annual Wonderful Pistachios Get Crackin' Eating Championship at Pacific Park on a Santa Monica pier. Webb's new world record of 338 pistachios comes in ahead of last year's record of 188 that was established during the inaugural event by defending champion and number 4 ranked Nick Wherry. Webb's performance was victorious against newcomer and Los Angeles Chargers linebacker Joey Bosa, who ate 152 pistachios Pistachios, and number one ranked competitive eater in the world, Joey Chestnut. For the second year in a row, Major League Eating and Wonderful Pistachios have brought pistachios to the nation's slate of sanctioned eating championships. The event is unlike any other hosted by Major League Eating before, requiring contestants to work for their food before eating it. Contestants were required to crack open each pistachio without damaging a kernel before eating it and moving on to the next. In a significant shift within the agricultural sector, the Assemi family, a prominent name in Fresno's farming community, is exploring the sale of its extensive agricultural operations. This includes a vast expanse of farmland totaling tens of thousands of acres and the Touchstone Pistachio Company, a key player in nut processing. The decision is influenced by Farid Assami's declining health and ongoing legal disputes within the family regarding the control of their agricultural enterprises. Maricopa Orchards and Touchstone, central to the Assemi's agricultural venture, are on the market. Maricopa Orchards boasts approximately 52,000 acres of land, primarily used for pistachio and almond cultivation, while Touchstone handles the packing and shipping aspects of the business. The sale, referred to as Project Green by the Assemis and Cascadia Capital, the investment bank overseeing the transaction, is valued at approximately $2 billion. The presentation for potential buyers highlights Project Green as an unparalleled opportunity to acquire a leading integrated agricultural platform with exceptional water rights in a prime farming region. The Bureau of Land Management has approved the Alto Wind Battery Energy Storage System right-of-way in Kern County. The project is designed to deliver 150 megawatts of electricity to the California power grid, store up to 1,200 megawatt hours, and increase the reliability and availability of clean power produced by the existing Alto Wind Energy Center. Battery energy storage projects like Alto Wind support the delivery of reliable and increasingly clean energy to consumers, according to California Acting State Director Gordon Toves. The BLM continues to advance clean energy development and enhance America's energy security. The 25-acre project will be located entirely within the existing right-of-way issued for the Alta One wind facility. The battery systems will be enclosed in climate-controlled containers with individual clean gas fire suppression systems. Additional information and project documents are available at the BLM National NEPA Register.
Real-time water monitoring for trees and vines is crucial to improving irrigation management strategies in the realm of reducing water stress, labor costs, and risk. Up to this point, though, there haven't been many easy-to-install technologies that provide this information. FloraPulse is one company breaching this space with new precision technology that sticks directly into a tree or vine to provide accurate and low-cost water sensing data for quick and accurate decision-making. FloraPulse's Michael Santiago explained in general why real-time monitoring to this level of accuracy is ultimately important for a regenerative ag future.
The point of agriculture is to have the highest outputs with the minimum inputs, right? So you're trying to maximize yield, crop quality, crop health, and then minimize the amount of water and fertilizer used. So to really be able to do this accurately, you want to ask the tree. You want to know what the tree is feeling so you can put water on it when it needs it, right? If you don't know what the tree is feeling, then you can't irrigate it properly. And so that you end up over-irrigating or under-irrigating. And to that point, we're seeing that some of our customers save up to 50, 60% of water by using this kind of technology, right? Which in the aggregate can make a huge difference. We also see our customers kind of increasing yield. So the proof is in the pudding, right? The using this higher accuracy technology leads to improvements in yield, quality, and water savings. And so this all translates then into a more regenerative agriculture where you have, by using this kind of technology, you can have more, produce more better quality product with fewer inputs, right? So this is basically the goal of regenerative agriculture. You also end up saving water and leaching fewer fertilizers, using less fertilizer overall because you're not kind of wasting it. And so, yes, I mean, and that's the point. You might also end up with healthier soils as well. So a little bit of everything, right? It's like if you're trying to drive a car and if you're trying to do it blindfolded, it's very difficult. So we kind of give the growers the vision to see what the trees are feeling.
The technology provides a big opportunity in terms of labor savings when compared to the pressure bomb. While pressure bombs work well for serving the same purpose as the FloraPulse sensor, it's much more laborious.
You have to go out there with this heavy instrument and take measurements manually during the hottest part of the day, and then you get one data point for that whole week, potentially. People still use it, right? Even though it's such such a pain to use, people still use it. So with FloraPulse, you get all the benefits with none of the drawbacks. So you get the same data as the pressure chamber, but you get it continuously. So you get a whole bunch of points every single day without having to go out there. So it just kind of shows up here on your phone or computer. And, you know, as has been demonstrated by countless studies, using the pressure chamber, or in our case, FloraPulse, growers are able to save water, increase yields, increase quality, and deal with a lot of improving the health of the trees, which is a big one. Growers often end up over irrigating because the trees look fine. You know, they might look a little droopy. And so they think, well, maybe if I put more water. And what often happens is they look droopy because they had too much water. Let's say they end up drowning the roots and causing more problems that way. So with FloraPulse or the pressure chamber, you can do this. But, you know, if you're lazy like me, then you want to have the automated solution.
The technology was founded through research and collaboration of Cornell University's Emeritus Professor of Horticulture, Alan Laxo, Director of the Smith School of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering, Abraham Strook, and Santiago. The sensor essentially mimics how a tree transports water.
You can imagine it's like a little tree that we put inside the tree itself, and then it exchanges water with the tree and measures basically the pressure of the water inside the tree. So you have this little nub, yeah, that gets drilled into the tree, measures the water status or the water pressure inside the tree. And just like humans, right, there's an ideal level of pressure for blood pressure, right, where if your blood pressure is too high or too low, you run into problems. Likewise, if the water pressure is too high, then you end up with more diseases and problems and like drowning the roots. If the water pressure is too low, then your tree droops, can't produce as many carbohydrates, photosynthesis stops, et cetera. So then the sensor is installed in the tree. It stays there for a whole growing season and gives you the data continuously. It's all kind of, it all gets uploaded to the internet over cell phone connection, where you can see it on your phone.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Biden administration officials have announced they will miss a self-imposed deadline of March 1st to complete modifications to the GREET model for sustainable aviation fuels. The model is critically important for determining eligibility for the Inflation Reduction Act's 40B SAF tax credit. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper says while they were pleased to hear progress is being made on a modified GREET model, they are disappointed by this additional delay. He says that RFA is calling on the interagency working group to complete this process as quickly as possible while maintaining scientific integrity and honoring the commitment to incorporate a broad range of carbon reduction strategies. To meet the Biden administration's SAF goals, the marketplace needs certainty and clarity. He also says investment and innovation in SAF technologies will remain frozen until the model gets finalized and additional guidance is issued. He says it's an enormous decarbonization opportunity. Matthew Pye, FMC Corporation biological subject matter expert, explained what biologicals are in a visit with him during the Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas last week.
A biological can be a naturally occurring organism or substance. The big thing is it's not been modified from its original state, so it's not been optimized or changed in any way, really.
Pye goes on to explain that there are three categories of biologicals.
Currently on the market, there's over 1,200 products that call themselves biologicals, and you can fit those into three categories. So biostimulants are the biggest one. About 9 out of every 10 products is a biostimulant, and they have claims around abiotic stress and nutrient uptake. And then a subset of that is biofertilizers, which are really popular now. If you think about the traditional biofertilizers, it would be your rhizobia, your inoculants on roots, but we are playing in the space of biopesticides. So those are things that have an EPA registration. The biofertilizers and biostimulants do not. They just go through the state level as a soil amendment.
Pye also notes that most products that farmers use today are just modified biologicals.
And a lot of the products we use every day have some origin in nature. They've just been modified, mm-hmm. and that would no longer fit into the category of a biological.
Once again, Matthew Pye, FMC Corporation biological subject matter expert, speaking to me from the recent Commodity Classic event in Houston, Texas. Enrollment is now open for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program, and the American Farm Bureau Federation is encouraging dairy producers to enroll in the Risk Management Program. Farm News reporter Michael Clements has more.
The Department of Agriculture this week opens the Dairy Margin Coverage Program enrollment period for 2024. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch says the program helps dairy producers manage risk.
Dairy margin coverage, often called DMC, provides a level of risk management protection to dairy farmers under low margin conditions. So that can be caused by low milk prices, high feed costs, or a combination of both. To participate in dairy margin coverage, dairy producers select a coverage level ranging from $4 to $9.50 per hundredweight on 50-cent increments, and then they select a coverage level for their production history ranging from 5% to 95% of their coverage history.
The enrollment period starts Wednesday, February 28th.
Enrollment for the year, which traditionally opens in October, has been delayed up until this point. FSA originally reported delays for software updates, as well as the need to publish a new rule related to production history as the reason why there were delays. AFBF sent a letter urging FSA to open enrollment back on February 6th. Sign-up or dairy margin coverage will end April 29th. And the good news is there will be retroactive coverage and payments for those who sign up quickly.
Munch says that while opening DMC enrollment helps, AFBF is still seeking larger changes to how dairy farmers are paid.
National Farmers Union joined AFBF last week to request emergency implementation of the hire of Class 1 mover. We calculated that pool losses for the month of January because of that formula switch back in the 2018 Farm Bill were over $55 million, and that negatively impacts our producers' checks. So we're glad to be joining with National Farmers Union to request that emergency implementation from the Secretary.
Learn more at FB.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
A USDA program designed to build up the next generation of food and farm leaders and workforce participants provided an example of its efforts during this year's Ag Outlook Forum. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
USDA's recent Agricultural Outlook Forum focused on the theme of cultivating the future. That included the next generation of farm and food leaders representing and participating in various USDA programs. That included Crystal Salazar of California State University, Monterey Bay, who shared some of her experiences as a member of the National Food and Agriculture-funded NextGen program.
Through that, I am actually interning with a nonprofit, and I am inspiring and advocating for the youth of my community and inviting them to learn more about agriculture through our career exploration.
Salazar says, as the daughter of field workers and someone who desires a career path in agriculture,
I really hope that one day I can maybe start a foundation or give a scholarship to the children of field workers, because they do very hard work and all these students deserve a chance to be able to come to these wonderful places and have a voice at the table.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
National Milk Producers Federation board member representing Dairy Farmers of America, Chris Kraft, has been very involved in the federal milk marketing order and testified when the hearings were taking place. As of right now, he explains the industry is in a holding pattern while USDA reviews the thousands of pages of testimony.
The Class 1 issue was the biggest one. You know, that was the one where during the COVID time, the industry lost almost $1 billion because of the change that was made. And we really, that's kind of the thing that precipitated us going through the whole thing and trying to get this sorted out. But we've asked to go back to the higher of instead of the average of Class 3 and 4. It used to be the higher of. And we've asked to go back to that so that we won't get hurt again like we did during COVID. Then there's a whole make allowance for the plants. That's a bit of a touchy issue because that money comes directly out of dairy farmers' checks. So the plants, the proprietary companies want to raise that. We're not so crazy about that.
In addition, Kraft says he also asked for reform on the formulas that are used for protein and butterfat designations. Kraft and his wife Mary own and operate Kraft Family Dairies in northeastern Colorado. The Department of Agriculture and the Energy Department have launched a new initiative to help farmers cut costs and increase income using underutilized renewable technologies. Through the Rural and Agricultural Income and Savings from Renewable Energy Initiative, USDA is setting an initial goal of helping 400 individual farmers deploy small-scale wind projects using USDA's Rural Energy for America program. The funding is coming through President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, which provided more than $144 million in grant funding for underutilized technologies through the REAP program. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says these investments will create long-lasting economic benefits for their families, businesses, and communities for years to come. Additionally, the Energy Department announced $4 million in related funding, including $2.5 million to support distributed wind technologies for the agricultural sector and $1.5 million to support outreach and the identification and development of new business models for farmers to save money and earn income deploying these technologies.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.